Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I was only 14 years old when I met Jeffrey. I ended up dropping out of high school before ninth grade, and I never went back. From 14 to 17 years old, I went and worked for Jeffrey.
I was a 16-year-old high school student athlete who made good grades and had high aspirations for college.
Why was Maxwell the only one held accountable when so many others played a role? Why does the government hide this information from the public? This secrecy is not protection, it's complicity.
Survivors of sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein held a news conference outside the Capitol telling their story, showing support for a rare bipartisan bill that would make release of the Epstein files law. The bill was introduced by Republican Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna.
A nation that allows rich and powerful men to traffic and abuse young girls without consequence is a nation that has lost its moral and spiritual core.
We'll speak with Congressmember Ro Khanna, as well as Lauren Hirsch of World Without Exploitation, who organized the testimony of the women. Then the Trump administration bars the Palestine delegation from entering the United States ahead of the UN General Assembly here in New York.
They have chosen to ban the Palestinian president and his delegation of some 80 diplomats intended to attend the General Assembly. And doing so at precisely the moment when the UNGA is going to be taking up a lot of critical discussions around the question of Palestine, the genocide in Palestine, the two-state solution, multiple recognitions of the state of Palestine.
We'll speak with former UN official Craig McIver. He resigned over the UN's failure on Gaza. His new piece, How the UN Could Act Today to Stop the Genocide in Palestine. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli forces moved deeper into Gaza City Wednesday as Israeli leaders dismissed a statement from Hamas that the group is willing to release its remaining hostages in exchange for an end to Israel's assault. This comes as Palestinian health officials report Israeli forces have killed at least 84 people and wounded 338 others over the past 24 hours. In Gaza City, Palestinians mourn their loved ones killed in Israeli airstrikes.
He was martyred. He was hit by a strike inside his room. They killed him with his wife and children. They erased them all. No one is left for me. Yesterday he was with me. He told me, I have your back. I will not leave you. Whatever happens to you, happens to me. But no, he's gone and left me alone. To whom are you leaving me, my brother Mohammed? To whom are you leaving me?
In Israel, far-right Minister Bezalel Smotrich on Wednesday proposed annexing 82% of the occupied West Bank. The plan would effectively and prospects for a future Palestinian state. In response to the United Arab Emirates, said any efforts to annex the West Bank would cross a red line that could unravel the Abraham Accords that normalize relations between Israel and some Arab nations. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting a post-war plan for Gaza circulating within the Trump administration would relocate the enclave's 2 million residents. Gaza would essentially be turned into a trusteeship run by the United States for at least a decade, where Palestinians who own land will be offered a digital token in exchange for rights to redevelop their property. Palestinians could redeem the token to move outside the strip or into an apartment in one of the new cities to be created under the plan. The proposal was reportedly developed by some of the same Israelis who created the Shadowy Gaza Humanitarian Foundation with contributions from the Boston Consulting Group. Scotland's top official announced Wednesday his government's paused funding to weapons manufacturers that sell arms to Israel as he ordered the Palestinian flag to be raised above Scottish government buildings. First Minister John Swinney made the announcement as members of the Scottish Parliament voted 65 to 24 to recognize the state of Palestine, urging the UK government to follow suit.
In the face of genocide, there can be no business as usual. We will pause new awards of public money to arms companies whose products or services are provided to countries where there is plausible evidence of genocide being committed by that country. That will include Israel.
On Capitol Hill, two U.S. military veterans were removed from a Senate hearing Wednesday after they accused committee members of complicity in genocide in Gaza. Former Army intelligence officer Josephine Guilbeault was led away in handcuffs alongside retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar. He worked as a security contractor for the militarized U.S. and Israeli-backed so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation before blowing the whistle on the group's deadly attacks on Palestinian civilians seeking food.
Are being arrested right now for interrupting a foreign affairs hearing on nominations because the U.S. is complicit in genocide. They are complicit in the slaughter of babies.
When the United States Congress comes after veterans, they will come after you. Every American sitting at home right now needs to realize that you are paying for a genocide.
To see our interview with Anthony Aguilar, go to democracynow.org. Senior Democratic leaders are asking the Trump administration to reveal details about who exactly is funding the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. In a letter to Secretary of State Marco Rubio, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee and Office of Management Budget Director Russ Vought, Senators Elizabeth Warren, Chris Van Hollen and Peter Welch write, quote, the State Department should immediately cease funding GHF and transfer or restore funding to experienced aid organizations, given the strong and growing evidence that GHF is failing to accomplish its humanitarian mission, unquote. According to the United Nations, nearly 1,000 Palestinians have died near GHF sites since the group started operations in May. Survivors of sexual abuse by Jeffrey Epstein gathered on Capitol Hill Wednesday to share their stories as they called on Congress to release files and documents related to the serial sex offender. This is Epstein survivor Lisa Phillips.
Congress must choose. Will you continue to protect predators, or will you finally protect survivors? And also, I would like to announce here today, us Epstein survivors have been discussing creating our own list. We know the names. Many of us were abused by them. Now, together as survivors, we will confidentially compile the names we all know.
All 212 House Democrats are expected to vote in favor of a measure to compel the Justice Department to release the Epstein files, meaning six Republicans would need to join them to pass the resolution. So far, four Republicans have signed on. They're Kentucky Congressmember Thomas Massie, Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace of South Carolina, and Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Meanwhile, President Trump's turned up pressure on Republicans to let the story die. Trump was asked Wednesday about the demands of Epstein survivors.
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax.
After headlines, we'll play more of Wednesday's testimony from Jeffrey Epstein survivors, who are both Democrat and Republican, and we'll be joined in Washington, D.C. by Congressmember Ro Khanna, who co-sponsored the House resolution to release the Epstein files with Republican Congressmember Massie. President Trump's expected to ask the Supreme Court to overturn the $5 million verdict in the civil suit that found he sexually abused writer E. Jean Carroll. Carroll's lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, said, quote, we do not believe President Trump will be able to present any legal issues in the Carroll cases that merit review by the United States Supreme Court, unquote. In 2023, Carroll testified Trump had violently attacked her in a dressing room at a department store in the mid-1990s. She also won $83.3 million in a defamation case against Trump after he called her a liar. Florida plans to become the first state to end all vaccine mandates for children to attend school, including for preventable diseases such as measles, mumps, chickenpox, polio, and hepatitis. On Wednesday, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Latipo said that the vaccine requirement is, quote, wrong and drips with disdain and slavery, unquote. The American Medical Association responded to Florida's plan to end vaccine mandates, saying it would, quote, undermine decades of public health progress, unquote. According to the World Health Organization, vaccines have saved the lives of 154 million people globally over the past half century, many of them infants and children. Meanwhile, California, Oregon, and Washington have announced they're forming a new health alliance to provide unified vaccine recommendations after Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. withdrew federal COVID vaccine recommendations for pregnant women and healthy children back in May. He will testify before Congress today. More than 1,000 current and former workers at the Department of Health and Human Services sent a letter to Congress demanding the resignation of RFK Jr. over his pseudoscientific claims and his attacks on public health. This comes just days after the New York Times published a joint op-ed by 9 former directors of the Centers for Disease Control headlined, "We ran the CDC. Kennedy is endangering every American's health." They write, quote, "This is a time to rally to protect the health of every American. Congress must exercise its oversight authority over health and human services," unquote. A federal judge in Boston has ruled in favor of Harvard, saying the Trump administration broke the law, violating the university's free speech rights when canceling nearly $2.2 billion in research grants. In her ruling, Judge Allison Burroughs wrote, quote, "A review of the administrative record makes it difficult to conclude anything other that the government used anti-Semitism as a smokescreen for a targeted, ideologically motivated assault on this country's premier universities," unquote. Harvard was the only university to sue the Trump administration after it targeted the school's research funding over claims of anti-Semitism. The Trump administration also tried to prevent Harvard from enrolling foreign students and threatened to revoke its tax-exempt status. The White House says it plans to appeal the decision. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is defending the Pentagon's decision to strike a boat in the Caribbean Sea, killing 11 people. Speaking to reporters Wednesday, Rubio said, quote, "Instead of interdicting it on the president's orders, we blew it up and it'll happen again," he said. The White House has failed to provide any evidence backing its claims the boat was carrying illegal drugs from Venezuela. Legal experts warn the strike may have violated international law and the U.S. Constitution, which grants Congress rather than the president the power to declare war. And in Italy, audience members at the Venice Film Festival rose for a record 22-minute standing ovation Wednesday after the premiere of The Voice of Hind Rajab, a docudrama about the real-life story of a Palestinian girl whose killing by Israeli forces in Gaza in January 2024 reverberated around the world. The film, by Tunisian director Khalifa Benhania, incorporates real audio recordings of phone calls from Hind as she was trapped under Israeli fire for hours, begging to be rescued from a car where her aunt, uncle, and 3 cousins lay dead. Hind was ultimately killed along with 2 Palestinian paramedics dispatched to rescue her. Ahead of the film's premiere, actress Saja Kilani read a statement on behalf of the cast and crew.
"On behalf of all of us actors and in the name of the entire team, we ask, isn't it enough? Enough of the mass killing, the starvation, the dehumanization, the destruction, the ongoing occupation. The voice of Hind Rajab does not need our defense. This film is not an opinion or a fantasy. It is anchored in truth. Hind's story carries the weight of an entire people."
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Survivors of serial sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein held a press conference steps away from the Capitol Wednesday to share their testimonies and demand lawmakers release all government files related to the Epstein investigation. Calls for the full files to be released have continued to grow, particularly among President Trump's base. Trump campaigned on releasing the files, but has called it a distraction and a, quote, Democratic hoax since taking office. The women were joined by members of Congress who've introduced a rare bipartisan bill that would make release of the Epstein investigation files law.
In a few minutes, we'll speak with Congressmember Ro Khanna, who co-sponsored the bill, and Lauren Hirsch of World Without Exploitation, which helped organize the survivors who spoke out Wednesday. But first, the voices of survivors.
My name is Marina Lacerda. I was minor victim one in federal indictment of Jeffrey Epstein in New York in 2019. I was one of dozens of girls that I personally know who were forced into Jeffrey's mansion on 9 East 71 Street in New York City when we were just kids. Today is the first time that I ever speak publicly about what happened to me. I never thought that I would find myself here. The only reason that I am here is because it feels like the people who matter in this country finally care about what we have to say. As an immigrant from Brazil, I feel empowered knowing that the little girl struggling to get by at 14 and 15 years old finally has a voice. For the first time, I feel like I matter as an American. I was only 14 years old when I met Jeffrey. It was the summer of high school. I was working 3 jobs to try to support my mom and my sister when a friend of mine in the neighborhood told me that I could make $300 to give an older guy a massage. It went from a dream job to the worst nightmare. Jeffrey assistant Leslie Groff would call me and tell me that I needed to be at the house so often that I ended up dropping out of high school before 9th grade. And I never went back. From 14 to 17 years old, I went and worked for Jeffrey instead of receiving an education. Every day I hoped that he would offer me a real job as one of his assistant or something important. I would finally have made it big, as, like we say, the American dream. That day never came. I had no way out. I was, until he finally told me that I was too old. There are many pieces of my story that I can't remember, no matter how hard I try. The constant state of wonder causes me so much fear and so much confusion. My therapist says that my brain is just trying to protect itself. But it's so hard to begin to heal knowing that there are people out there who know more about my abuse than I do. The worst part is that the government is still in possession right now. Of the documents and information about that could help me remember and get over all of this maybe and help me heal. They have documents with my name on them that were confiscated from Jeffrey Epstein's house and could help me put the pieces of my own life back together.
My name is Haley Robson. I was a 16-year-old high school student athlete who made good grades and had high aspirations for college when I was recruited and asked by a classmate of mine alongside with a 20-year-old male if I wanted to give an old rich guy a massage. But what high school girl would not want to do that? That day changed my life forever. And when I got into the massage room, Jeffrey Epstein undressed and asked me to do things to him. My eyes welled up with tears, and I have never been more scared in my life. When it was over, he paid me $200 and requested in exchange that I bring a girl each time to make another $200. I told him I did not want to do that, and then he gave me an ultimatum. Either you come here and massage me when I call you, or you bring me friends of yours to massage, and I will give you $200 per girl for each time she comes. I felt and hoped to never hear from him again, but he called me every day. He was so wealthy and powerful, and he would not let me go. I felt I had no choice. If I disobeyed him, I knew something bad would happen. So knowing I did not want to be sexually abused, I started to bring him other girls from my high school, and he paid me $200, $200 for bringing them. I just hoped each time it would be the last time. One day, the stepmom of one of the girls brought him and called the police on Jeffrey Epstein. The police then called me in for questioning. I had told them the truth despite the fact that I was a teenager and a minor, and I was able to tell the police the names of all the other victims. The police treated me like a criminal. I had, by this time, had turned 18. I had been with Jeffrey since I was 16 and for 2 years. So they had told me So they told me I was going to be arrested. My name was then distributed to the press as a co-conspirator of my abuser, who I detested. My entire world was crashing in around me, and I started being threatened and bullied, till this day still receiving death threats.
My name is Shantae Davies, and I'm here before you today as a survivor of decades of pain, the trauma, and betrayal at the hands of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, and the people who enabled them, and a government that for far too long refused to help. I was just one of the many young women trapped in his orbit. I was even taken on a trip to Africa with former President Bill Clinton and other notable figures. In those moments, I realized how powerless I was. If I spoke out, who would believe me? Who would protect me? Epstein himself was the most powerful leader of our country. Epstein surrounded himself, with the most powerful leaders of our country and the world. He abused not only me, but countless others, and everyone seemed to look away. The truth is, Epstein had a free pass. He bragged about his powerful friends, including our current president, Donald Trump. It was his biggest brag, actually. And while what I endured will haunt me forever, I live every day with PTSD. I live as a mother trying to raise my child while distrusting a world that has betrayed me. This kind of trauma never leaves you. It breaks families apart. It shapes the way we see everyone around us. But one thing is certain, unless we learn from this history, monsters like Epstein will rise again. There are files, government files, that hold the truth about Epstein, who he knew, who owed him, who protected him, and why he was allowed to operate for so long without consequence. Why was Maxwell the only one held accountable when so many others played a role? Why does the government hide this information from the public? This secrecy is not protection, it's complicity. And as long as the truth is buried, justice will remain out of reach. That is why this bill matters. Passing it will, bless you, ensure that the suffering of survivors is not in vain. Passing it will bring accountability, transparency, and prevention. It will help protect the next generation of predators who seek to place themselves above the law through wealth, influence, and connections. This is not just my story. It is about every survivor who carries invisible scars. It's about the weight we live with daily. It is about the families broken and the futures stolen. So I ask you, President Trump and members of Congress, why do we continue to cover up sexual abuse and assault? Who are we covering for? Let the public know the truth. We cannot heal without justice. We cannot protect the future if we refuse to confront the past.
Those were some of the Epstein survivors who spoke out Wednesday in a news conference outside the Capitol. They also called for the passage of the Epstein Files Transparency Act, introduced by Republican Thomas Massey and Democrat Ro Khanna, who will join us in a moment.
World Without Exploitation helped organize the survivors who spoke out. It's the largest anti-trafficking coalition in the country. For more, we're joined by its national director, Lauren Hirsch, the former chief of sex trafficking unit here in New York. Lauren Hirsch, welcome to Democracy Now! If you can talk about the significance of this moment, you had scores of women, of survivors. Some of them had never spoken before, surrounding the group of women who did speak. Talk about this moment and also what it means for them to be calling for something that the Trump administration said they were protecting the victims when they were not releasing the files, calling for the release of the Epstein files.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me. This was truly a historic moment. We saw more than 20 Epstein survivors come together. They stood in solidarity with one another, and so many survivors of other exploiters who joined them at the Hill yesterday to listen to their voices. And it was historic for so many reasons, because this was really the first time that these women were coming together and really connecting with one another. But also, it was so powerful to listen to their stories and also listen to their call to action and listen to the other women who surrounded them, many of whom were exploited by other people. But interestingly, we were approached by several other Epstein survivors who we didn't even know who were in the space, who said, I needed to be here today. I needed to listen to my survivor sisters. And this gave me strength and empowered me for the very first time.
Well, that's extraordinary, Lauren. Do you think any of those people would be willing, the people who were there, who were also survivors of Epstein's or his consorts, cohorts, subject to their to sexual abuse by them, whether they would also be willing to speak out?
Well, what we know is courage is contagious. And we saw that yesterday. I'm not sure if any of these women who came yesterday, who were Epstein survivors, who had never said that out loud, if they plan to even approach some of us. And yet, once they listened to these survivors speaking their truth, they felt empowered and safe enough to come forward and say, yes, me too. So I think this may be the moment where we are unlocking even more, more voices, more survivors, and the possibility of so much more truth coming out.
I wanted to turn to President Trump's response when asked about the Epstein survivor's testimony as he was sitting in the Oval Office.
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. I think we're probably having, according to what I read, even from two people in this room, we're having the most successful 8 months of any president ever. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what we should be talking about, not the Epstein hoax.
So that was President Trump. Lauren Hirsch, a hoax. I keep thinking of one of the women saying, I'm a Republican. I voted for President Trump. This doesn't have to do with party politics. Your response, Lauren.
I mean, what I want to talk about is listening to the voices of survivors, right? They said loud and clear, this is not a political issue. This is not a partisan issue. This is an issue about people. This is an issue about what these women collectively and individually have experienced over decades. There has been so much trauma. There has been so much terror. And they're finally at the point where they're saying, no more. We are ready to speak our truth. And truthfully, this is not the first time that women have come forward. Many have come forward individually saying, we want these people to be held to account. But this is really the first time that they're collectively coming together. And so we want to make sure that we're centering those voices, we're listening to the voices who are saying very loud and clear, it's time to release all of the files.
And Lauren, if you could comment on the significance of the survivors saying that they are, in fact, compiling a list of clients themselves. They didn't say necessarily that they would release that client list, but just the fact that they're compiling it. Your response to that?
My response is there is such power in this incredible community. What you're hearing from them are decades of frustration. These are women who have been let down by system after system, and they're at the point where they're saying, we've got answers. We know the truth. And if we come together, we can provide the truth. And so that is what they intend to do. It's very powerful.
Lauren Hirsch, I want to thank you so much for being with us, National Director of the largest anti-trafficking coalition in the country, World Without Exploitation, former sex trafficking prosecutor in New York. The organization helped to organize the survivors who spoke out Wednesday just steps from the Capitol. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, the co-sponsor of the bill that would make the release of the Epstein files law, California Congressmember Ro Khanna. Stay with us.